Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
July 3rd, 2015 was a quiet night in Bardstown, Kentucky.
Crystal Rogers was at home with her children and her boyfriend, Brooks Hook, and as he recalls it, she was playing games on her phone when he went to bed for the night.
The following morning, however, she vanished into thin air.
A few days later, her car was found abandoned on a parkway with the keys in the ignition and her belongings inside.
The attention of police naturally turned to her boyfriend, Brooks, but after questioning him and conducting an investigation, Crystal's disappearance still remains a mystery.
Today, 5 years later, the FBI is finally signaling that we might get some answers about Crystal's fate.
Will the culprit for her untimely disappearance finally face justice?
Betches Media presents Not Another True Crime Podcast. It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm Sarah Levine.
And I'm Danny Murphy. And you know we're your partners in wine, crime, and time. And we'll be in your ear for the next hour or so talking about Crystal and beyond.
Yes.
Actually,
before
not beyond.
Before we get into this, I wanted to talk about briefly about the Delphi murders, just because a lot of people are DMing us. It seems like they have got a suspect.
Yes, I've been seeing that on the blogs, and by blogs, I mean our Facebook page and DMs. It's
exciting. I feel like when we covered the case, our sort of take was they're going to find this person. Somebody knows something, and it's just a matter of that person speaking out. So it does seem like hopefully some dots have been connected. And some scumbags going to prison.
I hope so, yeah, because it really does feel like there is a concrete answer there. And we need some more closure in 2021.
We do. And I mean, this case does also have some of those hopeful vibes. It's not one of those ones that we cover where we're just like, we have no fucking clue. Like Bryceless Pizza is one of those where I'm just like,
Who knows?
Who knows? So,
but Crystal Rogers.
Yeah, I mean, this is one that I feel like we always get DMs about this one. So we figured it was finally time to dive in. It's pretty interesting. And it's pretty interesting. I'm hoping it'll get resolved soon.
Here's hoping.
So here is the deal. Crystal lived in Bardstown, Kentucky, which is a super small town. She was previously married, but then left her husband and then started dating Brooks Hauck, who she lived with. And she had 5 children. One was with Brooks and the rest, and that was their 2-year-old son, Eli. The rest were with her ex-husband. And Crystal went missing on July 3rd, 2015. She was last seen at a Walmart on camera around 4:30. That was the last time she was seen on camera. Her boyfriend, Brooks, was the last person supposedly to see her alive. And it was at the home that they shared. So here's like the sketchiness. I mean, obviously, you know what we say, right? It's always
the husband or the boyfriend or a man who's using Candy Crush as his alibi.
Like dead ass. This guy basically has this very like convoluted story about going to his farm, and we'll get to him in a sec. But his basic claim is that he saw Crystal around midnight and she was playing a game on her phone. And then when he woke up the next morning, both she and her car were gone.
You know what's weird about this too? That he's like, I saw her playing a game. Was she in bed, on the couch? Like, he's not really giving a lot of details. Like,
I think he said they were in bed.
In bed? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that's that. And what's kind of weird is I was watching Oxygen has a good, I think it's like a 5-part special on this disappearance. So I was watching that hashtag research during work hours. Anyway, I've been watching too much Circle. I'm verbally hashtagging things. But so basically Crystal, like, they first started noticing that Crystal wasn't answering texts. I think her daughters noticed it first. They asked their grandma. Her grandma tried to get a hold of her, wasn't hearing from her. So Sherry, who's Crystal's mom, ended up reporting her missing 2 days later on July 5th.
2 days later.
Yeah. Well, I think it was because, you know, you don't necessarily talk to your daughter every day, but like, for the grandma, I guess, yeah. You know.
But there's someone who could have.
Yeah. For her kids to not be in touch with her, I think they were like obviously worried. And then it was just a matter of like calling around to various family members and stuff. So then later on that afternoon on July 5th, a relative found Crystal's maroon Impala along the Bluegrass Parkway. It had a flat tire. The keys were still in it. And also her phone and her purse were in the car. Now, this is weird because if you have a flat tire, you're going to call AAA. You're going to call someone. Like, that's obvious.
And also, this is, and it's not like one of those like older cases where it's like a cell phone. This is 2015. You're at that point, your cell phone is glued to your hip. You're not going to leave without that. You know what I mean? And also, you're not going to like walk around if she had to like get gas or like get a new tire. She also needs her wallet for that. So she would have her purse.
Right. If you need help, you're going to take your phone. You're going to take your purse or your wallet or like whatever. At very least the phone. I think we can establish that we have a phone addiction.
Yes.
Also, Crystal was apparently a really cautious driver, according to her family. So they thought this was weird. They actually don't think that she was ever in the car, but there's been no sign of her or her body anywhere. So it does raise some questions.
Jesus. Some flags.
But there's been no sign of her or her body anywhere. So it's really just a mystery for now.
Building a mystery, as Sarah McLachlan would say.
Yes, for now. So let's get into this boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Our man, Brooks Houck. And listen, let me just say, what have we said about gateway names? Brooks, Burke, don't fucking trust him.
I'm just, and also even his last name, Houck. How could, did you do
it's
it?
It's spelled like Houck, and it's, I literally put a note in our outline because they said it so many times in the Oxygen documentary that I was like, all right, fine. I'm going to get this asshole's name right.
I know. Oh, without a doubt, I'm going to get it wrong halfway through. So it doesn't even matter.
Yeah. So I guess I do still feel like I need to preface this. Like, this town is small as fuck. I feel like we should look up the population.
Ooh.
Jorge is going to do that. And then we are going to report back. But it's a small ass town. And Brooks was kind of well-known. So they actually first met because she was renting a room from him. I think his family like owned a lot of property. And then they started dating. She also, according to some of her family members in the Oxygen documentary, was like working for him in some capacity, but I'm not really sure what.
Let me jump in here. The population of Bardstown, Kentucky is 13,000 people.
So that's like a college. Like,
that's, yeah.
It's small.
That is some, like, with middle seats, that's some planes.
Right?
Or, like, honestly.
It's like Spirit Airlines.
God, honestly.
Yeah, so the Houck family is really prominent in this town. Brooks even ran for sheriff at one point. So, like, people knew who this guy is.
He went from running for sheriff to running from the sheriff.
From the sheriff. Literally.
Actually, not really.
I love it. So true. So as we mentioned before, they had one child together, although according to Crystal's family, Brooks didn't really accept her other children. Her mom told Oxygen that, like, for example, if they went to the grocery store, he would only buy the food for Eli and then Crystal would have to buy the food for the rest of the kids, which is just like so fucked.
That is so. Oh, no. That makes me sad.
Yeah. And also, like, some of Crystal's friends told Oxygen that she kind of changed after they got together. They never hung out. They felt Brooks was controlling. And
he seems that, I mean, also, like, the definition of controlling, I feel like, is being like, I'm not going to feed our children that, like, or the children that live with us.
Yeah. And so, not shockingly, he was pretty much immediately questioned by police. So as we kind of mentioned, he says that he saw Crystal when they went to bed. And then when he got up, which was around 8 a.m., she wasn't there. Now, here's where it gets like more sketchy. So he says that he wasn't really surprised or alarmed that she wasn't there. He didn't go to the police. He didn't report her missing because he said that she would kind of, he said he thought she went to her cousin Sabrina's house, which Brooks claims she would do sometimes when they would fight. He literally told Nancy Grace, shouts out to
our queen.
I was going to say a queen. I wasn't sure, but sure. A queen.
I'm not going to say a queen. I'm going to say our queen that comes on the podcast. True. And we'll leave it at that.
Yes, our queen. So he actually told Nancy Grace that she had done this like between 4 and 6 times. Like they got in a fight. She goes to her cousin Sabrina's house. However, Sabrina says that in the 3 years that Crystal and Brooks were together, she only came over twice. She stayed for 1 or 2 hours and then never spent the night.
Our girl Sabrina with the receipts.
Yes, we stand. So then like Sabrina told Oxygen that the morning Crystal went missing, Brooks texted her to ask if she'd seen her. But again, Brooks never filed the police report. It took Crystal's mom to do that. And then also, despite family and friends, community members searching acres of multiple counties, and they were doing this on foot, four-wheelers with canines and boats. So it was like the whole fucking shebang. Like they brought out all the guns.
Truly.
For this search. Yeah, but guess who never participated in the search, according to Crystal's family?
Dua Lipa.
Yeah, Dua Lipa probably didn't. But neither did Brooks.
And that's more shocking.
Right. And so he told our girl Nancy that his searches were like behind the scenes with the Nelson County Sheriff's Office, which...
How do you search behind the scenes in a town or doing a while doing a sweep of a place? Because you need to search the scenes. You know what I mean?
That's like honestly very valid.
There's no behind
did you
the
search
scenes.
The scenes, bro? Yeah.
Like, sir, what?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could use the argument that his brother was in law enforcement, but that's a fun little twist we'll get to in a minute.
We'll get into that.
But no, I think that was like complete bullshit. Like, oh, you know, you're not, like you're too good to comb the ground because. What you have some skill that like whatever. So then on July 8th 2015, which was like 5 days after Crystal went missing, Brooks did sit down voluntarily with police for an interview. He said that basically they went to his farm. I think his family owned like some farms, and they left for this farm around 7 p.m His mom was there. They walked around the farm and there was like a fire. It's honestly, it's really not clear like what's going on, what his account is, like what this fire is about. The journalist in the Oxygen documentary pointed out that it was rainy that weekend though. So it's kind of weird to be walking around setting a bonfire when it's rainy.
Yeah. And also we'll get into his mom in a little bit too.
Oh yeah, we sure will. And so then Brooks said they left the farm around 5 minutes to midnight and they got home at like 12:20. Just okay. A nighttime farm stroll.
A nighttime farm stroll that she then unwound with by playing like words with friends.
Yeah, like, I don't know. And basically Brooks's excuse. And then, you know, the other question is like, okay, well, like, why weren't you calling her and stuff like that? Why weren't you trying to get a hold of her? His excuse was that. So basically, like in the past, when they had gone into fights, if he would call her a lot and blow up her phone, he'd make it worse. But he also said that they hadn't had a fight.
True. So he's already, even one interview in, just completely contradicting himself and Mother Nature.
Yeah. I just feel like Oprah, like, so what is the truth?
Yeah, right? Were you silent or were you silenced?
Love it. Yeah, I don't know why I just did my... impression of Oprah like that. It sounded more like Batman. So let's go with that. Batman. So investigators did search a farm owned by the Houck family, but Brooks has not been charged in connection to the disappearance. However, he was named a suspect in October 2015, at which point Rogers was presumed dead. And I mean, basically, as you can like imagine, Crystal's sister doesn't believe like anything Brooks says.
Yeah, none of her family does.
I mean, do I? Like, no.
Yeah, no.
So he also took a lie detector test that was inconclusive. But as we mentioned, he did call into Nancy Grace to say that he is innocent. Mm-hmm. And then provided all these kind of half-assed justifications.
Yeah, I gave a lot of quotes to people and places being like, you know, we're keep on keeping on. We're doing our thing, holding on our hope. It's like, what else are you holding on to? The evidence, in my opinion.
Yeah. And then in June 2018, after 3 years of not saying anything, Brooks finally did comment on the case. He told WDRB, a local station slash outlet, I suppose.
Yes, he said, where we got a lot of these sources from too, because always trust the local news.
Yeah, I think it's a local station. He said, I have been advised, you know, to ride the wave and keep on keeping on. And that's what I've done. And it's worked out great this far. I mean, like, look, I'm not going to come for the guy for not talking to the media. Like, I don't really feel like that ever works out in your favor, whether you are guilty or not.
Fair. Fair.
But like, yes. You know, I think not participating in any of the searches is a little suspect.
Yeah. And also just giving random quotes like you're Joe Dirt, like keep on keeping on. That's like life's a garden, dig it. You know what I mean? It's like, right. This is very like just a weird energy going on.
Right. And it's worked out great. Like, what do you mean? The mother of your kid is like missing.
Yeah.
This is the sound of your engine getting clean. Because BP and Amoco gasolines with Invigorate clean deep in your engine as you drive, helping your car run better to take you farther. Fuel a cleaner engine with BP and Amoco gasolines with Invigorate at a station near you. Optimizes your engine's performance from the harmful effects of deposits caused by minimum detergent fuels. Requires continuous use. Results depend on what you drive and how you drive. Comparison made for fuels with the same ethanol content.
So Sheriff Ed Mattingly, who was leading the case, and we'll get into kind of how we know some of the sheriffs and police officers in this town. So Sheriff Ed Mattingly said that Brooks was cooperative at first, but then a little bit more down the line of just like even in that moment and in years to come, kind of said that he would totally label him as a suspect just because there was a lot of sketchiness to it. And he just sort of like felt that he was just sort of going through the motions at first, but then kind of going through motions that kind of could have been more covering up. And there is another person involved that could have been maybe given him tips of how to be a very cooperative, great, not even suspect, but just person involved. We're going to get into Brother Houck, Nick Houck. So just like it did not take that long for people to be suspicious of the husband, Brooks, the brother also came up because Nick, his brother, was an officer for the local police department and allegedly did not want his brother talking with the investigator.
I mean, like, it's kind of funny because, like, look, I think that that is generally blanket good advice to not talk to the police, but it's like, but this is your people. Like, so what are you saying?
That's what I don't get where I'm like, can't you just be like, hey, Ed, my brother's coming in, you know, just be nice to him. You know what I mean? I feel like that is kind of like the language they would just talk.
I get away with way worse than
that. Yeah. I'm like, so you totally, with this setting, I'm like, you just think your brother would go on out and like accidentally confess. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also Nick refused to be interviewed too. And then kind of got ordered to
cooperate. Shady to me because again, like, this is your people. I feel like I'm Michael B. Jordan in Black Panther. I'm like, is this your king? Like, this is your people. Like, what do you mean you don't want to talk to them? That's suspicious as fuck, I think.
And also, like, so, like, when you're, like, getting coffee in the break room, you're like, don't talk to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know, right? It must be awkward to, you know, be working at that time.
Yeah. So they also, the same night that Brooks was interviewed by police, they drove to the farm again. And
to do what?
This infamous farm. And Nick also claimed that he totes did not remember going to the farm or what they did that night.
Like, what do you mean you don't remember? That's not
like, no. even if you black out at brunch, you remember going to brunch. You know what I mean? So you can't black out like not knowing anything about it.
Right. I mean, it's also not like, I mean, when was he interviewed? I don't think it was that much later.
No, it was just, So it's sort of like, come on, boy, you have to have some recall on this. But shortly after that, even his cop car was searched and he was taken in for questioning where he also refused. Police said in an interview that Lumin oil lit up all over the trunk of his car.
Lumin oil is like the shit that they spray and then they do the blue light and then, all over the trunk of his cop car.
Yeah. So he truly, the car that is, he's, you know, solving crimes in, could be helping someone on the side of the road, you know, a lot of things. However, the police are allowed to lie to you in interviews. So maybe they were lying, but who knows?
Yeah, that was kind of like something I watched like the tape of where they were saying, I mean, they said that like luminol lit up all over the trunk of his cop car, but also like, we don't actually know if that's true.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're allowed to lie to you.
And then he did curse out in a polygraph exam too much, which I sort of feel is suspicious. But like, I guess like he just like saying like, go fuck you, go fuck you. Like, I'm like, why are you cursing at all these people that you know?
Like, so aggressive, like from like out of nowhere. It was like very 0 to 100.
Yeah. And what also is 0 to 100, but not really, because it's very should have happened, is that he was fired from the department, spoiler alert, for interfering with the case the same day that his brother was named a suspect.
Sketch.
And another add-on sketch.
Bro, like, come on.
Come on, bro. And also, come on, grandma.
Come on, grandma.
The suspects run in the goddamn family here with Anna Whitesides. She was associated with the case, too, because of her Buick, which is kind of an iconic reason to get tied up into a missing persons case.
Your white Buick.
I know. I mean, grandma's everywhere. So
truth, honestly, if the car fits,
it was the first word I learned how to spell as a kid.
Really?
Yeah, because my babysitter, who was very old, would cover up the Buick sign while driving. So one hand smoking a cigarette, one hand covering up Buick, no hands on the wheel, and just made me practice spell it, and would chain smoke inside the car, but never roll down the windows because she didn't want me to get a cold. So
what? Oh my god! Wait, yeah. But secondhand smoking is cool. Like,
I don't think she was like 76, so I don't think she knew what secondhand smoking was. God, she was just a fun babysitter. God bless her. But anyway, get back to this grandma. According to court documents, a private investigator found that a white Buick was parked in a peculiar location at the Houck's family farm the same night Crystal disappeared.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So the grandma apparently sold her car and said she gave that information, but also was refusing to testify. So now it's like, did she sell the car just to sell her car? Did she sell the car because we use this car to maybe transport a body or do some shady shit? No one knows.
Can't they just track the car down to like whoever she sold it to?
I wonder if she sold it for parts or just like cash deal type of thing.
I don't know.
And also, she's an 82-year-old woman tied to it. I think
you're not driving much at 82.
No. And also, I think,
again, that's kind of sketch.
Very sketch. And I feel like, too, she's in the position, she's like, I've lived 82 years of life. You think you're going to terrify me?
Oh my God, right?
Like, come at me, police department.
Come at me. Yeah. Me at 82.
Oh my God, right?
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
So, and then it gets like even more interesting. Like, I don't know what the hell is happening in this town. I mean, I do. And I don't think it's good.
No,
I mean,
I don't know.
I just suspect. Woo. Okay. So here's the thing. So Tommy Ballard, Crystal's dad, was really like spearheading this search. He was super vocal about calling Houck the chief suspect. That's Brooks. He was super involved with the search for Crystal. He was apparently funding a lot of these searches. So he was very much keeping the awareness on the case. And like, he wasn't giving up on looking. And this is where I feel like this shit turns into a movie, because Tommy Ballard was fatally shot in November 2016. And the incident happened while he was hunting with his 11-year-old grandson, and they were hunting on family property. And now, according to Crystal's brother and some investigators who went and looked, there was basically this part of the woods where the branches were cut, which would give someone a clear shot to the area they were hunting. And these branches had never been cut before.
I mean, is that, I'm like, I guess that is, I also know nothing about nature.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's a little bit sketch, or it could just be a coincidence. But what makes it even more like, is that he did tell his wife, Sherry, that he thought he was being followed in the time leading up to his death. So, I don't know. I mean, Sherry is convinced it wasn't an accident and that it has to do with Crystal's disappearance. I think that could be true.
It is kind of sketchy. Like, it is a very weird coincidence and just like happening all to, it's like one of those things where like, how can so much happen to one family? You hear horror stories, but you're like, there has to be a link or something.
Oh, well, speaking of, I also read in the Oxygen documentary that Tommy's sister was murdered in 1979 in the same town.
Oh.
So it really is just like, how much can happen to one family?
Truly, like what is going on, not only in this town, but to this family?
Yeah, I don't know. And then so regarding Tommy's death, I mean, Sherry is convinced it wasn't an accident. It has to do with Crystal's disappearance. Sherry has a couple of theories as to why Crystal could have been targeted. One is that maybe her daughter overheard something she shouldn't have about an unsolved murder nearby, which we'll get into in a sec.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's the only theory so far. Yeah.
But that's her main theory. So like a lot is going on. And the main thing that she was talking about was Jason Ellis. So the theory that she was working with, what Sarah was saying is kind of like the main theory that is driving Crystal's mom, is that she overheard the police officer, some intel about a police officer who was murdered, Jason Ellis. He was ambushed on his way home from work in 2013 with a 12-gauge shotgun, or gauge shotgun.
Gauge?
I got it. Okay, SVU. You know what is kind of interesting to me?
So many pronunciations I've learned from SVU, like indict. Did you know that bitch has a C in the middle of the fucking word?
It is tricky. And also so many Italian pronunciations I learned from Carisi.
Oh, yes. A king.
What a king. Oh, Fordham alum on the show. Here's what gets interesting, Sarah. The incident took place on Bluegrass Parkway.
What is up with this highway?
And that is the highway, if you don't remember, that her car was found. Crystal's car was found without Crystal. So the mom kind of like, I'm, and this is now like me joining the mom's theory. I'm like, did Crystal hear something about that? And then they left the car here on the same place where he was murdered as kind of like a warning situation sign.
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Yeah, none of that has really held up a lot. But like Sarah said, there's a lot of fucking weird shit going on in this town. There were two other unsolved murders, Kathy and Samantha Netherland in 2014. And someone basically, like, it's just a lot like...
They were like a mother-daughter duo. And this was a really gruesome one. Like, Samantha was a high school student. Kathy was a teacher.
Yeah.
I think like one of them, I think the daughter was stabbed and I forgot what happened to the mom, but it was just really just like super gruesome. And that also is unsolved. The Samantha's older sister kind of thought they were maybe targeted by a gang initiation ritual. But still, it's just very like, I don't know what's going on here.
So, yeah, what the fuck is going on?
And also, why aren't the police solving these murders?
How do they just keep on happening? Like, it's insane. Like,
yeah.
So some updates, because that's why we kind of are kicking up to this case and kind of how we started talking about it, or it got onto our radar a little bit more. This article from the same local news station from March of this year, 2021, said like after 5 years of like truly nothing basically going on to help find Crystal or get answers, there finally was renewed action in the case and the FBI swooped in and swooped in a big way.
Oh yeah. And we love to see it.
We love to see FBI. We've been waiting for you. That should have been the banner.
Oh, I love it.
And I think they came in with like 150 officers or agents.
Yo.
Actually,
I didn't even know they had that many. Like,
I didn't either, but okay.
Maybe they have an opening. Yeah. I'm ready.
You're like, I got this.
Right. Like, do I call Quantico? Do they call me? Like, how does it work?
Right. You're like, do you just DM them? Just Quantico up on Instagram.
I'm ready to report for duty.
So they came in and took a bunch of evidence from notable homes, including Brooks's home. So you'd think like an answer would immediately come from this. Not quite. They kind of went around town asking a bunch of people questions, taking a bunch of evidence, and it sort of has been zilch quiet for a while. People also are kind of being critical over like how useful will this information and evidence be 5.5 years later. But what the FBI is hopeful for is that there's so much new tracking software now, aka how you say you say the word rug and then there's a rug on your Instagram feed type of thing.
Oh my God. Right? I think about like a wedding dress and then it's in my feed, like a dress to wear to a wedding.
Exactly. And then I'm like, Sarah, okay. You're like, I thought about a fiance and I got one. Like,
yeah,
thank
I
you.
Wish it worked like that.
Thank you, Apple. Yeah. So they're hopeful that they'd be able to get something from all of this, like smartphone companies and some of the data, some of the stuff they took from Brooks's.
Yeah. Cause I feel like a lot of just random apps now, you opt into tracking without even knowing it, like Snapchat and shit. Like you have to like turn that off. So maybe they'll figure out where people were.
Yeah.
Maybe some people weren't where they said they were.
Yeah. Or maybe even Candy Crush, whatever game she's playing, to be like, okay, she wasn't at this
freaking
place at midnight.
Candy Crush.
Mm-hmm. But the good news is that there is a dedicated team working exclusively on this case. And they said that they are nearing the end of the investigation.
That's some good news.
It's some good shit. Some interesting thing. Last year in July 23rd, Nelson County Sheriff's Office became aware of human remains in a remote area near the Washington County line. They worked with the FBI and sent the remains to Quantico to be analyzed. Let's go. And then, like we said, the FBI took over at the end of last summer. So let's get some. Here's hoping that this team can make some moves.
Yeah. I mean, like, I just feel like they're definitely getting all their ducks in a row. Like, they probably have so much shit to just pour over. And you don't want to charge someone. If you don't want to like arrest someone, if you don't have enough evidence to charge them, and you don't want to charge them if you don't think you're going to convict them. So I feel like it's, you know, a lot of like moving parts that are probably frustrating to the family and people on the outside. But like, I don't know, they executed 9 search warrants. They had like a bajillion people there. I'm kind of hopeful that they're going to find something.
Hopefully. Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, who knows? It could happen any day now. Like I feel like they move so quick and you just never know. We might have to do an update soon.
We might. Oh, here's hoping there could be an update soon.
Yeah. Oh, but you know what I think is interesting?
Mm-hmm.
As I was just researching like updates on the case, I got a lot of local news articles. And apparently Brooks is dating another woman named Crystal.
I cannot. No. That should be illegal.
I think that alone is like, you're guilty. Look, I know it's a small town in Kentucky, but like, how many crystals can there be?
How many crystals?
That is like, oh my God, I can't believe it. I know it's like completely idiotic of me to be like, he's guilty. But that fact alone, I'm just like, that is also so eerie.
I'm sorry. Wouldn't he be like, I mean, I guess like, if he really vibes with this new crystal, but wouldn't you be weirded out to be like, oh, I date it. This is fucking me up. You would think
like, I don't even want to date people with the same name as anyone in my family, let alone my child's mother who mysteriously vanished
near my maybe grandma's white Buick. You know what I mean? Like,
right. And not for nothing. Her name is Crystal. It's not like her name is Anne.
Exactly.
Rachel. Like, I don't, that is a pretty specific name. I just can't believe it.
It's a very specific name. And then also, it's also a name that doesn't really have a nickname.
No. Chris? Yeah,
Chris?
Nah.
I don't think they would be down for that in Kentucky. You know what I mean? It's very.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. So what do you think? I think we're probably pretty aligned on our theories.
Let's just say the name in 3, 2, 1, Brooks. I like, but yes. Also because my favorite thing is, I'm like, okay, so it's either Brooks and his brother, Brooks and his grandma, or Brooks the brother and the grandma. So it's one of those combos altogether.
Yeah, I think it's definitely either Brooks and the brother or the three of them.
Yeah, like a charmed spinoff of the three of these people causing chaos.
Yeah, yeah. I do think it was a family affair. Even if the family didn't actually murder her, I think they were involved in covering it up.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yes, yes. So the moral of the story is, kids, don't trust people named Brooks or Burke.
Trust no one.
Trust no one. And
also listen to red flags, because he seems like a shitty person from the beginning.
Yeesh, yeah. I feel like it's time to bring in our lovely Jorge.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hello.
Hey, Jorge. Hey, Jorge.
So today we're going to be playing a game about video games. Since Brooke's main alibi is that apparently she was playing video games, we're going to do an audio round this time around. I'm going to play sounds from very, very classic video games. And the first person to correctly guess the game will get a point.
Oh, wow.
Are we ready?
Okay.
So. Yeah.
All right. First up.
Zelda?
No. This is a mobile game.
Oh,
God, is it Candy Crush?
It is Candy Crush, Sarah. Ooh. Well done.
Oh my God, I do not play games on my phone. I just scroll through Instagram like an obsessed person.
Truly.
Well, Candy Crush, it's considered to be one of the most successful games that uses the freemium model, which is like it's completely free to play, but you can pay for extras, or if you get stuck, you can pay for ways to get out of your binds. And at its peak, this is actually pretty insane. It was making about $1 million a day.
Are you kidding me?
Who's paying for Candy Crush? Guys.
Literally everyone, apparently. Oh, in 2020, apparently the total revenue for this game was $1.1 billion.
Okay. Oh my God.
Which is more than the GDP of St. Kitts and Nevis. Like a whole country.
Shit.
It's insane.
Okay. That is wild.
I guess a dollar a day really makes a difference. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Next up.
Oh, I'm playing it in my head.
Is it Pac-Man?
Yeah.
It is Pac-Man, Sarah. You're right again.
Sort of with his hand motions.
I just could do that.
So this was originally a Japanese game that was then imported to the United States. And originally the name for Pac-Man was Puck-Man with a P, because he kind of looks like a puck. But they actually changed the name from Puck-Man to Pac-Man, because they were scared that the P would get changed to an F by creative graffiti artists.
That's so funny. Mm-hmm. Smart.
That's fair. So
it's pretty smart.
Very smart.
Pretty smart. And it looks like it paid off, because Pac-Man is apparently the brand with the highest awareness in North America out of any character. Wow. More than anyone else, people recognize Pac-Man.
Are you serious?
More than any other one. Hmm.
Can I say too, one of the most fun games.
It is really fun. I love Pac-Man. It's a little frustrating sometimes, but
I do like it.
It's a fun game. All right, Sarah is leading 2-0.
Somehow.
But it's still anyone's game.
Okay.
All right, next up.
Is like the Space Invader one?
No.
Angry Birds?
Not Angry Birds. It's one of the classic games.
Is it Zelda?
Not Zelda.
Donkey Kong?
I feel like I should know this.
No.
If you're good at this game, you'd be very good at packing U-Hauls.
Oh, Tetris?
Tetris! It's Tetris! Duh. You got it. So, did you actually know that the pieces are called Tetriminos?
No.
Crazy. And Weirdly enough, a fun fact that I found is that there's been a lot of scientific research about the effects of playing this game on your brain. And research from Dr. Richard Heyer and some friends found that prolonged Tetris activity can lead to more efficient brain activity. Huh. So moderate play of Tetris, which is half an hour a day for 3 months, boosts general cognitive functions such as critical thinking, reasoning, language, and processing, and increases cerebral cortex thickness.
Love that.
So video games are good for your brain.
Hey, kids, drop out of school right now and just play Tetris.
Right?
Just play Tetris. Just tell your parents that you'll be better at critical thinking.
Yeah.
Here we go.
All right. 2-1 from Sarah, but Danny is mounting a comeback.
Okay.
Here's our next game.
Is it Brick Breaker?
Is this Angry Birds?
Not Angry Birds.
Something in... Is it like Something Donkey Kong?
It is Donkey Kong!
Oh, okay.
Well done!
Okay!
Turn up.
Well, this has like a little beat to it too. I could like...
Yeah, this actually I think was my favorite video game growing up. I used to play Donkey Kong Country all the time. And this actually leads pretty nicely to the next game, which I will play.
Oh, Mario.
Yeah. I think, Sarah, just got it by a second.
I'll let you have it.
So these two I kind of played together because Mario was originally a character in the Donkey Kong franchise in which he was called Jumpman.
Jumpman.
Oh my God, yes.
But then he was changed to Mario because the creator, Shigeru Miyamoto, was living in the United States and had basically like a warehouse space where they were keeping all the games and stuff. And their landlord was apparently a very nice guy who gave him a great deal. And his name was Mario. So he decided to name the game, the character after this guy who was actually kind of very instrumental in making sure that Mario
was able to be created. Cute.
Yeah. And this game, Mario, was released in 1985. It's so old, which is kind of crazy to think about. And it's one of the best selling games of all time with over 58 million units sold.
Oh, shit.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is our last clip, and it's anyone's game. Sarah is leading 3-2, but Danny, if you get this, you might tie the game.
Okay.
Ooh.
All right, here we go.
Oh, Pokemon.
Yeah.
So good.
Danny, I think you got it in time.
I was a Pokemon pro as a child.
Oh, really? You used to play Pokemon? That's
I played it so much. Oh, my God.
The original name for this was Pocket Monsters.
There we go.
And then they named it Pokemon just for catchiness. And it's turned into a huge multimedia brand with the trading card game, the anime show that I used to watch every Saturday morning, tons of video games across the years. So, Danny, you played Pokemon. Did you play too?
Oh, Sarah? That was my youth. I would like throw rocks pretending it would be like a Pokeball that would like come out. Like, oh my God, now I just miss my youth. God. That's what I would consider my Harry Potter. I would be like, oh, when I'm 13, I'm going to be a Pokemon master. Like, it's okay, guys. Did not happen.
Did you guys ever play Pokemon Snap?
That's the thing where the people would do the thing or no?
It was a game that came out.
Oh, with the photo one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
You were in a safari and the whole point of the game was just to like capture Pokemon by throwing nice pictures at them, and then it rated you on like composition and how many Pokemons you could get on a picture. It was so fun.
You guys get into the Pokemon Go craze?
No,
I didn't.
Okay,
no.
Yeah, me either.
I'm like, I'm not gonna play a video game to run. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. No, it's like supposed to be mutually exclusive. I'm either running or I'm playing a video game. I'm not doing both.
All right, so this game is a tie. The first tie in history.
Ooh.
You both won. Congratulations. You're both.
I love it. We're both the winners.
We're both gamers, I guess.
You're both gamers. Also, if you enjoyed this game and you like video games in general, there's this awesome documentary series on Netflix that I watched recently called High Score, which is super cool. It goes through the history of video games. And even if you're not super into video games, it's like, it's a great watch. It's super entertaining. It also gets into the culture at the time. It's a good watch. Highly recommend.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right, sweet. So I'm going to check out High Score. And while I'm doing that, everyone listening should check out our Facebook page, Not Another True Crime Group.
Yes. And please also rate, review, subscribe, give us 5 stars wherever you're listening to us. We love it. We love you guys. We really appreciate it. Follow us on our brand new IG handle. It's at Not Another True Crime. I know it's really long, but someone actually said this in the DMs, which was so funny. They were like, did you change it because people were getting the old handle confused with the NAACP? And I was like, no, but I can kind of see that.
Okay. Okay.
It's a bunch of letters that contain NANP. So yeah. Yes, no more acronym. Not Another True Crime. And you can also follow me on Instagram, Sarah Lameme.
You can follow me at Kashmir Danny, Kashmir with a K.
Danny, what wine are you going to drink this weekend? I'm curious.
I'm staring right now at a fun, my friend brought it over. It's kind of like, it's a bubbly rosé.
Ooh, love that.
I'm going to have a little bit of that. Yeah.
I think I have, it's like some kind of white wine, but it's like dry white. I think that's literally what it's called.
Oh,
so that's been chilling in my fridge. I've been saving it for my post-vaccine and
ooh, exciting.
Dig into that tomorrow night, I believe. So,
oh my God,
you know, big plans.
Cheers to that.
Yeah. So cheers to both of us. Cheers to you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll be in your ear next week.
Not Another True Crime Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico and Sean Kilby. Our hosts are Sarah Lameme and Danny Murphy. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Sarah Lameme. Be sure to follow at NATCPod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to NATC@betches.com. Betches.